broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
It needs to adhere to the teachings of the church in all of its institutions.
People were all up against each other, like trying to get down the escalator.
Amazingly, they were able to do what they did and not have accidents.
The threat has changed from simply worrying about foreigners.
He proceeded to rip his shirt off and then take his pants off.
Holy boobs!
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. This is a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, and we go places other talk shows prayed, wished, hoped, did magical spells, tried to go to but couldn't. Yes, when the history of the world is written, well, I hope we're in it somewhere. Anyway, a student in North Carolina claims his teacher showed his classroom porn. Joining us to discuss at this hour is attorney Darren Brown, who speaks, specializes, I should say, in these kinds of cases, 877-876-PHIL. And also online at philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. We loaded in a few more Classic Phil podcasts today. Are they up on the site? We'll check it in our next hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. But we've got about four or five more Classic Phil podcasts. And I think we're going to have a total of 20 Classic Phils for you for Christmas time. So that'll be cool. And don't forget, on Thursday night at 9 o'clock Pacific, excuse me, at midnight Pacific, 3 a.m. on the East Coast, we will reprise Phil's Christmas Carol. 877-876-PHIL. We're going to get Darren Brown on the line with us here from San Francisco in just a moment. But in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina, a Halifax County teacher faces charges of disseminating obscene material to minors after he reportedly showed pornography in his classroom. Halifax deputies say that Archie Sheldon McLeod, 51 years of age, showed students at William R. Davy Middle School pornographic footage on his laptop in the classroom on December the 20th. All of the students were between the ages of 12 and 14. Investigators became aware of the allegations after Robert Hester, who's an eighth grader in McLeod's class, used a cell phone to record McLeod playing the video for students. Hester said McLeod stopped showing the video when he realized he was being filmed. Hester then went home, showed the cell phone video to his mother, who then sent the video to WTVD in Raleigh, North Carolina, to expose this teacher's behavior. We have some audio, I believe. Do we? We do not. I thought we had some audio on this story, but we do have Darren Brown, who is with us from San Francisco this evening. We're going to talk about this case with Mr. Brown. And I know that, Darren, you specialize, but you've done an awful lot of work with educators involved in this kind of thing.
Well, let me clarify and say that I've done work with educators involved in education who've been unfairly sidetracked and have had their careers sidetracked by these accusations. These are not teachers that are, quote, as you said, involved in this kind of thing. These are teachers that have been sidetracked by accusations and allegations that had nothing whatsoever to do with their behavior in the classroom or anywhere else for that matter. And I think the first step that we make in this society, Phil, is to stop this endless and never-ending assumption that these people are somehow guilty until they are proven innocent, or proven somehow guilty until they are proven guilty in a court of law. And I think that it needs to begin in the here and now.
Are you familiar with this case?
What I've read of the case, I think I'm about as familiar with it as anyone should be.
Can you tell me, since you have, sir, spoken for teachers accused can you tell me the kinds of allegations or charges?
You mean what have these individuals been indicted for and have been ultimately found innocent of? Is generally some level of sexual harassment or child endangerment or any one of the many concocted charges that school districts, parents, and sometimes even peers, colleagues, will charge them with. And I think the grossest performance of any educator I've ever seen is when he stands accusing a colleague of this kind of behavior when he knows full well that his colleague is innocent of it and yet has joined in a witch hunt because they don't think this is a winnable situation. And
well, is this man, from what you know, and I know you agreed to talk about this because you're familiar with it, do you think he's being, is this man, this Mr. Archie Sheldon McLeod, is he being railroaded?
Well, I don't know if he's being railroaded.
Well, maybe I used the wrong word. Is he being, does this thing have legs?
I don't know. But let me point something out to you, and I'll point it out to your listeners. And I don't imagine that there are too many people in your audience tonight that have much affection for an individual like myself. But anyone that is interested in justice, and I wonder sometimes, Mr. Hendry, how many people there are left in this country interested in justice. But if anyone's interested in justice, then you can listen to the observation that I'm about to make and draw your own conclusions. But I will say this. There's only one conclusion that can be drawn. And that is that there is something more to this story than meets the eye.
Can I give our phone number out?
You can give out your phone number and then let me, but I'd like you to hear me out.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Darren Brown with us, attorney at law from San Francisco. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, you can give out your phone number, but hear me out, please.
We just did that, sir.
All right, very good. This young man went home, the young man who videotaped Mr. McLeod showing pornography to the class. And this young man videotaped this on his cell phone and went home with it. And this was a piece of material evidence, and the material evidence was this videotape. That, or if you will, the digital video recording made by this young man, Mr. Hester, that he took home and showed to his mother. Is that much a part of the record, Mr. Hendry?
Yes, it is.
All right. What did the mother do? Now, Mr. Hendry, I'm going to put you in that position. You're not a mother, but I imagine you'd make a pretty good father. What would you do if your son came home and said, Dad, look at what Mr. So-and-so was doing in class today. He was showing us pornography, Dad. Here is the digital video recording, Dad, of that. What would you do?
I'd get on the phone to the school.
You'd get on the phone to the school. And I would submit to you, Mr. Hendry, and I'm not the smartest man in the world, but I'm a father as well, although my children are well-grown and out of the house. But I would submit that I would agree with you. I would call the school. What happened in this case, though? Well, what happened in this case was that the mother that was shown the digital video recording of this teacher allegedly showing pornography did not call the school. The mother involved in this situation called a local television station, WTVD Television in Raleigh, North Carolina. According to this television station that got this story, and I don't doubt that there was some back scratching, they said she did this to expose the teacher's behavior. Mr. Hendry, the news station loves it when a parent is so stupid, and I'm going to use that word, as to call them up and give them videotape. The parents, though, love it, too, because they get their 15 minutes of fame. So you have this symbiotic relationship between a very stupid parent and a very manipulative and exploitive television news organization. And what do you have? You have the parent, rather than going to the school, she goes to the TV station with the videotape.
Yes, but can I ask you something?
Certainly.
Whether she went to the TV station or not, the videotape, if you call it the video digital recording.
The video digital recording on the cell phone.
Right. Is still a fact. This man, it recorded what it recorded, and it showed what it showed.
It may or may not be a fact that it recorded what it recorded, but you take that evidence, you give it to a mother who then takes it to a TV station, and you have so tainted that evidence, and you have so tainted the motive of the boy and the mother, that you now call into question whether or not this teacher was actually showing pornography, or was he looking at a computer that was owned by the boy, owned by the mother, owned by someone else? We don't know yet, do we?
What do you mean owned by the boy? You mean the man was set up?
He could very well have been set up. Could very well have been set up. Now, I say these things to you because I know this is a teacher who is in a city, not a very large city, and may not have the resources to be represented properly. I certainly don't have the time to take the case on, but I am telling you as an attorney, any mother that takes evidence of a teacher showing pornography to a class, as this mother did, to a television station as opposed to the school, completely invalidates that evidence. There is no pornography, and there is no malpractice, if you will, or harassment on the part of the teacher.
Wait. You're saying that it completely wipes out...
It completely wipes out the deed by the teacher because it shows a problem with the motive of the mother who is interested in getting her face on television because it gives her a thrill. And I think you know, Mr. Hendry, and the American people know that we've about had it with these kinds of people.
And well, what do you mean, these kinds of people? I agree.
With these parents that want their that want to be on television because it gives them a thrill.
All right, I understand that there are a lot of parents, you know, the Michael Lohans of the world, and we talk about them on the show, but you cannot deny that there was a cell phone recording of the teacher showing pornography.
And you cannot deny, and I'll just keep going back to this, that there was a mother that turned it over to a television station and not to the school. You cannot deny that, and you can't get away from it. And what she's done is she has called into question her motive, the motive of her son, the motive of that class.
All right, hold on, sir. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. So the teacher in North Carolina showing pornography to the students, and this was recorded by one of the students. This teacher may not be in as much trouble as you would think because the student took it to his mother and the mother turned it over to a TV station. So any mother turning over evidence of a teacher sexually abusing or misusing students, any mother turning that over to a television station as opposed to the school itself, has that invalidated that evidence. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with Darren Brown on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Furthermore, years ago, when I was with the U.S. Cavalry...
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You know what I mean about that.
Darren Brown on the line with us here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Mr. Brown, an attorney at law, a criminal defense attorney, and we're talking tonight with him about the kind of allegation, I guess, Darren, that you've dealt with, and that is teachers, students, and this sexual impropriety, sexual harassment.
Well, I've been, Phil, on the side of the defense side of many cases. I have defended individuals who've been accused of rape. I've defended individuals who've been accused of sexual, physical misconduct, and oftentimes, if not 99% of the time, it is the misrepresentation, to put it in a kind way, or the out-and-out lies of parents who have a ulterior motive involved.
Ulterior motive,
which is the motive that, the hidden motive.
All right, the ulterior motive of parents is what?
The ulterior motive of parents when it comes to teachers and
yeah, and accusing them of a sexual misconduct. We're talking about this teacher in North Carolina who allegedly was showing pornography to his students aged 12 through 14 years of age. Now, it's a pretty tough thing to believe, but one of the students recorded it on his cell phone, came home and showed it to the mother, and then took it to a TV station.
Yeah, took it to a television station. Now, let's be clear. If this is true, what this man did, it's an affront, yes, to these children to their parents, to the community, to the school. But then you sanitize it, and it becomes a benign or inert. Because what happens then is when this woman, who is very typical of these parents that I've come to know, she wants to be either famous herself or somehow get a fame out of it. She wants to take this tape to the TV station. That's what she did. Now, parents don't report these things to the school because they want to, first of all, see if they can get their 15 minutes of fame. And to make it even more clear, whether or not parents even care that their children have been molested.
Well, you can't say that.
Is the jury's out on that? Why can't I say that? It's been my experience.
You can't. Your experience is that parents don't care whether their children are molested?
Well, what conclusion can a man draw from a parent that takes a digital recording of pornography being shown in the classroom to a TV station and she doesn't take it to the school? What conclusion do I draw from that?
You can draw the conclusion that the parent is interested in fame, as you say, or the parent is interested in, or has a misguided idea as to how to get things done, you know.
Misguided idea. She knows very well she should go to the school. She knows very well. I'll tell you, if there is any parent listening to the program tonight that doesn't know, when you find out that the teacher has engaged in misconduct, that you go to the school, if there's a parent listening tonight that thinks the first thing you're supposed to do is go to a television station, I fear for the children of this country, not that I don't already fear for them, because I am very convinced that the well-being of their children is second to most parents. What is important to them is that they get their picture in a newspaper.
And so this mother, as soon as she found out that her son had witnessed pornography in this classroom...
I don't think this woman ever thought of her son as having witnessed pornography, Phil. I don't think she had ever dawned on her. I think when her son came into the house with that digital video recording of pornography being shown in the class, I think she grabbed it from his hand and watched it for whatever joy that might have given her, and then realized this is what she'd been looking for to make her day. I don't think it for a second occurred to that woman that her son had been damaged.
Well, how do you, are you getting that out of this story, or is that just your experience?
That is not only my experience. I'm getting it from this story, but that is my experience in every case. When a parent finds out about this kind of thing, their interest is in how they can manipulate the facts and the information so that they stand tall in the eyes of the media. I got a case dismissed because I found out that the mother reporting this case of a teacher who was staring through a peephole into a gymnasium full, or a locker room full of naked 15-year-old girls. This teacher, when she reported him, she went in waving her arms in a demonstrative way, gesticulating all over the place, put on some very expensive suit and heavy makeup, and was almost giving a stump speech there in the police station as if she was running for U.S. Senate. I took this information in the witness reports, and I made this woman look like a Ringling Brothers clown in the courtroom, and the case was dismissed.
The case is dismissed because this woman was very overly demonstrative in reporting the crime?
Because she looked like the last thing on her mind was the well-being of her daughter, and the first thing on her mind was being a big shot reporting sexual harassment. So understand that what I am involved in is not only finding these individuals who have been targeted by these overzealous parents and school boards innocent, but I'm also involved in targeting these parents whose interest is in getting their picture in a newspaper, having their face exposed on a blog, or getting on The View. And as silly as it sounds, and it is about as silly a thing as one could possibly imagine, many of these women want to be on The View with Whoopi Goldberg and the rest of that. And I am very happy to...
What do you mean, The View? So this is interesting. So do they tell you that?
They That is my conclusion.
Well, you're drawing a lot of conclusions here, Darren.
I'm drawing a lot of conclusions based upon a lot of years of experience.
All right. Well, we're talking here with Darren Brown. We're talking about this case of a teacher showing pornography to his students. And the kid brought it home. The mother didn't go to the school with the videotape. She went to the TV station instead, which, as far as Darren is concerned, that makes this teacher innocent of all charges. The mother caring more about television than she does about her kids. Henry Show.
Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil here, and the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Darren Brown, talking to him about a story here in North Carolina. And it's the story of a student who had witnessed his teacher showing pornography to other classmates. I mean, 12 to 14-year-old kids. And the teacher is showing this pornography. The student videos it and then takes it home. And Darren, your entire defense of this guy would be wrapped up in the fact that the mother took it to a TV station.
Well, that's the, yes, and that is the status of the American parent. The status of the American parent today. These people will take a piece of evidence relative to the abuse of their children to a television station because at the critical moment when the well-being of their children should be uppermost in their minds, they're thinking about their own notoriety, fame, and possible exposure as a reporter. I am with parents all the time in these cases. And this example is indicative of how most parents act. They don't care that their kid was abused. They care about getting booked on the Today Show. It's a shame how bad parents have become. I'm an expert on these things. Parents get a sick thrill out of the news that their kid was molested because they know immediately they'll get to meet Matt Lauer.
Oh, come on.
No, you...
Oh, come on, man. I don't buy that for a minute.
You don't buy it for a minute? Then what is this example of this mother taking the video?
I don't buy for a minute that they'd rather their kid get molested because they can meet Matt Lauer. You know...
I didn't say they'd rather to. I said in a way they get a sick, perverted thrill out of it. You keep on making your comments about this woman as if she's not an example, as if she's an anomaly. But what you don't seem to get is that she represents all parents, and that is my experience.
You're telling me every single parent out there would rather be on the Today Show.
That's correct.
Then take this tape where it should go, to the police or to the school.
Where is the, in the age of the Internet, with cable news, with powerful morning news shows, it's completely changed the way we parent our kids.
All right, so nowadays, what we do is we've changed the way we parent our kids. What we do today is we take the duty of a parent, and it becomes something that we parade on television, even if the kids are hurt.
That is exactly right. Because what happens now is that the appearance of being a good parent is far more important than actually being a good parent. Being a good parent means you have to work at it. Being a good parent means you actually have to work to be a good parent. We don't have the time for that anymore. We live in the McDonald's age, in the McDonald's or the Jack in the Box, the drive-thru restaurant age. So what you have then are parents who are interested solely in being famously good as opposed to truly good. And that's why today you have this substance problem of parents who want to be on the television. They want to have their name in lights. They want to be famous. They want to talk about how what they would do if they were a student. But in point of fact, they are narcissistic, and the children are the ones that wind up suffering. And there's no better proof of that than this story that you're telling me about here in North Carolina. If you ask parents how they would react upon hearing their kid was shown porn in school or maybe touched inappropriately, in my experience, 9 out of 10 parents are first to think about going on the Today Show.
Oh, you're a, you know what? You'd have to show me numbers.
Well, you can prove me wrong. you know, if you want to prove me wrong, go ahead.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL. 9 out of 10 parents, when they hear that their child was touched inappropriately, what are you saying?
I'm telling you, you're not listening to me?
I'm listening to you. Yes.
9 out of 10 parents, when told that their child might have been the victim of some molestation or inappropriate exposure to adult genitals or inappropriate exposure to adult sexuality, 9 out of 10 of them first think about going on the Today Show, if it'll get them on the Today Show, that kind of thing, as opposed to the well-being of their children.
9 out of 10 parents, based upon your experience, I may say, as a defense attorney, who is an individual that is not necessarily going to be sympathetic to the prosecution, you're going to be sympathetic to the teacher or to whoever the defendant is, not the school.
Well, I'm a criminal defense attorney, yes, but I can tell you I've studied an awful lot of parents and these prosecutors and these parents who are plaintiffs and so on and so forth, and there aren't too many of them that are, in my estimation anyway, there are not too many of them who care at all about their kids.
All right, number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. We're going to take a break here. Darren Brown is on the line with us here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. As we talk to Darren Brown, who's an attorney at law, and we're talking about a case in North Carolina where a teacher was showing pornography to the class. Everybody knows this case because we've been talking a lot about it, Darren, and you are saying that you've got a parent, and you know, you're pulling your point of view from that one parent that took this directly to the TV station.
No, I'm not doing that at all. I'm taking my point of view from not just this parent, but from a world of experience that I've had dealing with these people. You don't understand. And
are there any parents out there that, in your experience, that care about their children?
I'm hopeful that there are. I haven't come across them. What I've come across are the usual individuals more interested in their own personal fame than they are in the well-being of their children.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Here is May in Victorville, California. Go ahead, May.
Okay. I feel like this. You know, he might be right in some cases, but there are some mothers that's not interested in being on television. And they're not interested in their children learning things that adults are supposed to be knowing about. They didn't send their children to school to be learning about sex. They sent their
I would hope that they're not. But then why don't they, instead of when they get this pornography, what would you do, May, if you found pornography that your child brought home? Would you go to Oprah or to Sally Jesse or some nonsense?
Well, it depends, because if I go to the school and the school, I keep going to the school complaining about things they're doing, and they get to the point they're not even listening to me, I'm going to go somewhere. I'm going to take it somewhere with
me. I can't imagine a school.
What about that?
Well, I can't imagine a school. I can't imagine a school not doing anything when they find pornography on someone's cell phone. In my experience, 90% of mothers and fathers out there can't wait for a teacher to touch their kid so they can go on and write a book about it. You know that Maury show? Have you seen the Maury Povich show?
Yeah.
They can't wait for someone to touch their kid. Are you kidding me?
Not if it means a book deal.
Well, there is a lot of people that probably do want to get on shows and everything like that, but then there is a needle in the haystack that don't.
Well, that's exactly right. A needle in a haystack.
You can't say
one parent out of a million. Well, you're right. So I will tell you this. One parent out of a million doesn't want to go on TV and exploit their child. So
I think that's a very bad percentage.
All right, so one parent out of a million, you're saying one parent out of a million doesn't want their kid touched. Thank you very much, May, for your call. Doesn't want their kid molested. Not one parent in a million does.
No, one parent in a million doesn't want their child molested. The other parents of certainly would like to have their child molested if it means Matt Lauer.
Would like to have their child molested if it means Matt Lauer.
That's right. You think I'm kidding, don't you?
I don't think you're kidding. The universe that you're describing to me, in which an appearance on the Today Show is more important to an individual than the safety and the health of their child, we must have really hit a rock, some level of rock bottom that I didn't even think was possible.
Well, and if that's the case, then that's the case. But that's what I say in a courtroom anyway. I have to.
Well, do you believe that?
If it'll get my client off. And I ask you to forgive the term, get my client off. Just my experience. I see these teachers' careers ruined while the so-called victims' parents go on Good Morning America with glee in their eyes and with a smile on their faces. And so it is a tragedy. There's no question about it, Bill.
All right. Well, Darren, I appreciate you being with us here tonight. What a hell of a topic here. It's a few nights before Christmas.
I love talking about it. Any chance I get to expose these people that call themselves good parents, I'm happy to do it. And I'm looking eventually to have the PTA and PTO both classified with the Masons as an organization that, in my opinion, is looking to basically co-opt the government of the United States and to have...
All right, thank you very much. That guy's nuts. 877-876-PHIL. The PTA and the PTO, they are the Masons now. That's great. All right, well, thank you, Darren, and everybody tonight. And for those of you that were looking at our video cast, we shut it off early tonight. Let me just tell you, that's just the way we're going to do things tonight. We're shutting the video cast off early, and we'll be back up with a full video cast. Illinois, thieves have stolen two baby Jesus figurines from a nativity scene outside a Downers Grove business whose owner believes the culprits have a grudge against Jesus. What the hell does that mean?
I don't know. They don't like Jesus.
They don't like Jesus? Why don't they get one of those what-would-Jesus-do things, you know? He'd miracle the cat's ass out of the hospital.
I thought that was pretty funny.
You thought that was funny? That he was serious. There was a time and a place where you just didn't mess with Jesus, said Henry Schmidt. Yeah, it was like 2,000 years ago when the guy was walking around miracling some guy's ass out of a tomb. Now, of course...
Well, no, man. There was a time and place people have respect for Jesus.
Well, they're stealing these baby Jesuses. Because people haven't figured out yet that they got to protect these baby Jesuses. Forget about why they're doing it. They're doing it. There's a guy that's got a low jack that he's sticking on these baby Jesuses. You know the manger scenes?
Yeah.
There's a guy that has, like, a GPS tracking device he will put in these baby Jesuses. And you can go to the police. Or, I don't know, go to the police. But you can have these tracking devices put in these baby Jesuses. So... Anyway, there was a time and a place where you just didn't mess with Jesus, said Henry Schmidt, who owns both the Manger Scene and Muldronics Incorporated, a high-end machining business in Downers Grove, Illinois. Boy, what a name of a Downers Grove, man.
Yeah, I'd go there and get happy.
Yeah, let's go to Downers Grove and just forget about it.
Right, I'm going to go to Downers Grove, man, and, you know, I'm going to lay down and just croak. Anyway, I'm kidding around, folks, in Downers Grove. Sounds a lot of fun, like a lot of fun. I mean, it's a nice, maybe it's the guy's name. Anyway, I'm going to put another baby Jesus up. I'm not giving up. I'm not afraid, said Henry Schmidt. Well, why would you be afraid, dude, of a guy stealing baby Jesuses? Anyway, Schmidt told police that the first baby Jesus figurine was stolen sometime last week from his business in the 700 block of Rogers Street. He later replaced it without giving the theft much thought. But then sometime late Friday night or early Saturday morning, a second baby Jesus figurine was stolen. At this point, we have no suspects, no nothing, said Sergeant Dave Borman of the Downers Grove Police Department. We don't know if it's a prank or kids walking by taking them or what. Joseph, Mary, the three wise men, and all the other figures in a manger scene were left alone and remain unharmed. The estimated value of the stolen figurines is about $60, according to a police report. Schmidt told police he believed whoever was stealing the figurines has a grudge against Jesus. look, man, this ain't nothing.
There was a big story about them stealing Jesus's way back.
That's exactly right. They've been stealing these baby Jesuses for years, dude. Years and years and years. You think this is some kind of vendetta against you? They're stealing them because they think it's funny. Here's what they're doing. This story is so old. What they're doing is they're putting these GPS tracking devices into these baby Jesuses. How much time? 10 minutes before the end of this hour. Oh, my God. They're putting tracking devices, huh? 5 minutes. It'll seem like 10. They're putting these tracking devices into baby Jesuses so that when some schmuck comes by and picks up the baby Jesus, guess what? He gets popped by the cops. Now, that's the latest. The other thing you do is you stay up and you go after the guy with a baseball bat. The guy, it's probably a couple of 14-year-olds. That's the other thing you do. You know, you can invest in a lot of high-tech lighting equipment or something like that.
What about a gun?
A what?
What about a gun?
A gun? You're going to shoot the guy?
Yeah, he's stealing.
You can't shoot. You know what's going to happen if you shoot some guy ripping off your baby Jesus? Most of them are out on the front lawn, so that's not no good because you got to shoot a guy inside.
Not no good, man.
Not any good.
Yeah, you got to shoot the guy when he's in the house, right?
Yeah. So if he's stealing your baby Jesus from inside your house, then you got yourself a story. But other than that, man, I don't know. A gun.
Well, yeah, beat him up and everything with a baseball bat if you take it.
Or either that or don't do a manger scene with a baby Jesus. Or electrify the baby Jesus. This is not something that this is not a problem, folks, where you ask yourself, why? It's a prank. It's a fad prank. It's something that's been going on for years. They take the baby Jesus out of the manger. Here's an idea. You know, don't put a baby Jesus in there make the baby Jesus part of the manger or something, or nail him in, or cement him in. Is there a reason why he's separate from the manger thing?
Well, I mean, he's not going to, what do you mean? Is there a reason?
Yeah, is there a reason why the baby Jesus isn't going to go anywhere, is it?
No, it's supposed to lay there.
Well, if it's going to lay there, you might as well nail it in.
Oh, man, you can't nail it. That's what happens when it gets older.
That's what happens when it gets older.
You're not going to nail it to a cross.
I don't mean that, but so, like, nail it down.
But, all right, well, I agree with you. You can nail it down, or you can glue it down, or you can cement it down, or something like that. But don't start crying about how your baby Jesus is getting ripped off, man. It is. That's what they're going to do. The best thing that I saw was this guy that had these GPS tracking devices. Is it expensive? Yes. Do people care? I guess. Finally, here's an update on the Spider-Man performance. It's been canceled. You remember the guy that fell?
Yeah, he fell like 3-story.
He did fall 3 stories, and they have canceled the troubled Broadway musical Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark will postpone a Wednesday matinee performance. It's a Wednesday afternoon matinee performance because this guy that fell was very seriously injured. His name, a 31-year-old actor by the name of Christopher Tierney. And here is Houston resident John Crowley and his wife. Last night they were at the performance. He speaks with the AP about what he witnessed. He uses the term MJ, a reference to the actress playing Mary Jane.
Amazing that they were able to do what they did and not have accidents. And so we thought we had made it through the end of the show without anything happening, and we're grateful for that. And then the cable snapped or something. I'm not sure what exactly happened, but we did see him fall into the pit. We heard a somewhat of a loud thump and then a scream from a female, assuming it was possibly MJ.
All right, and Mr. Crowley says he wasn't even certain at the time that an accident had taken place of a guy falling, you know.
He didn't hear him hit the floor, huh?
He didn't hear him hit the floor.
And still at that point, we're not quite sure if it's actually scripted or not, because there's been all kinds of, action scenes and noises coming, kind of a surround sound type of effect all over the theater. So we weren't exactly certain until there was continued silence.
Well, anyway, the young actor who was injured, his name Christopher Tierney, is in serious condition at New York's Bellevue Hospital. He has broken ribs, and he suffered some internal bleeding as the result of the fall. It's a hell of a fall, 30 feet. And there's no other indication as to his condition. The Department of Labor for the state of New York and the federal government has said they're looking into it, as well they should. They have stated basically that they're going to be all over this thing, man, like white on rice, baby. Here is Debbie Crawley. This is the gentleman's wife, and she said...
It was very loud.
That's all we want to hear from her. So, because the husband speaks.
Come on, man.
I'm sorry, I'm joking here.
It was very loud, 3 or 4 times. I don't think she said anything in particular, as she spoke, crying out, and then we heard call 911.
When they brought the stretcher out, there was a huge round of applause, similar to a football player getting injured and then getting up off the field and walking off.
So, there you go.
I wonder if the people that call 911 for Spider-Man.
What are you talking about?
Well, they think that Spider-Man needs 911?
911?
911. No, they don't think he needs 911. They saw a guy fall 30 feet. I understand that a lot of this stuff we sometimes mistake is, we think it's the part of the performance. Not this time. World famous Phil Hendry Show. So our news hour continues with Bud and Robert next here. 877-876-PHIL and philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry.